Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point of today's episode, episode 62, is Bridget Linton.
I ain't never played in the freaking snow before, but I know one thing, we're gonna make some snow angels.
The on-field host for the Cleveland Browns, a renowned MC and media personality, someone who is devoted to her Irish heritage, and, as such, an avid performer of her party trick, which is breaking out into Irish dancing, something in which you've competed since age 6. Bridget Linton, welcome to the show, and thanks for being here.
I mean, what an intro. That was phenomenal. Can I just carry you around everywhere? And when people say, who are you? I'll
yeah,
just play that.
Absolutely.
I'll just play that.
Play that, yeah. And it's going to be like when people hand their business card out, you just
play a
little audio. It's perfect.
Totally.
Bridget, my first question for you is, what is the best thing that there is to know about you?
Oh, great question. I would say my authenticity. That's the biggest compliment I can get when people say, you are the same person as you are on the field, when you are on TV, as I meet in person, and whether you're a CEO of a company or you're one of our security guards, when people say, like, you just treat everybody the same and you're always authentically Bridget, it's the highest compliment I can receive. And I've got to say, it is me. I've been the same person literally since I was little. I see home videos, I'm like, wow, I have not changed at all.
That's incredible.
So, yeah.
People are longing for that too.
Yeah.
I think there's such a front that people put out because we have media all over the place and that kind of thing. So especially in that world, but in general, I think people are really longing for authenticity.
Absolutely.
So you grew up in the suburbs of Akron, and in an interview with University of Akron, you had mentioned that you are now living your dream. How did you know from such an early age that you wanted to be in the media world?
You know, it's interesting because when I was younger, I've been the same person forever. So I started Irish dancing when I was 4 years old. So I was very young. And my mom always says it was more of like a comedy show watching me in dance class. Clearly didn't know really what I was doing and just running around the dance floor. My sister, who is 10 years older than me, I went to one of her shows where she was performing. She also was an Irish dancer. And I was begging my mom to let me go on stage. And she's like, Bridgie, that's what my whole family calls me. They were like, you don't actually know how to dance yet. And my mom tells the story, I got up there, the lady let me, like, she's cute, just let her go up on stage, and I magically knew all of my steps, and they, like, couldn't get me off stage. So it was weird, like, it was something about being in the spotlight, performing, that just ignited a light in me, and then I became very serious about Irish dance and was super competitive with it, and just, again, always loved to be on stage and perform. So when it came time, I was graduating high school, going to college, that's when you figure out, you're 18 years old, what am I gonna do with my life? And my parents were like, well, there's no major in, like, being famous and, like, performing. So, like, maybe we got to figure out a career for you. And I'm like, you know what? Sorry, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I'm sure we'll get there at some point. I also did, like, one pageant in my life, and I was Miss Ohio Teen USA. And what I loved about that year was traveling around and talking to younger girls and talking to schools, and the public speaking aspect of it I really enjoyed. So that's when I thought, you know what, maybe I could do this as a career. Let's go into broadcasting, see where it takes me. And University of Akron had a great student-run broadcasting program, ZTV, and I'm very thankful for all the tools that they provided for me there. So I did a lot with the sports teams at University of Akron. I was on the dance team. So got that experience of interviewing players and being a part of that whole live action of it. So when it was time to graduate, you know, I had a nice reel put together and it led me into the sports and entertainment world.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of tie the two together. So the pageant world almost was a vehicle to lead you into recognizing that it was the speaking, less of the modeling per se, but the speaking aspect of it that translated into you now doing that part for your life. It's kind of interesting to me to see the different parts of our lives that are, again, vessels or vehicles that lead
to
different parts. Bridge those gaps for me. So how did you know the pageant world was going to lead you to the broadcasting, and why sports specifically?
These are all great questions because it is funny how life works out, and like one thing just leads to another. And, you know, we were talking about off camera, like so many about relationships and the people that you meet kind of lead you into other parts of your life. And so I did. I'm very tall. I'm 5'11". And so when I was 16, you know, someone had noticed me. It's like, hey, you should get into modeling. And so I did, and I was doing some things, and it was actually at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, their fashion show. It was my first like big runway show, and I'm so young. And it was Mrs. Ohio was there as a special guest. And we're just talking backstage, and she was like, honey, your like personality is so infectious, and obviously you love being on stage. You should think about competing in a pageant. And me, as you can tell, I talk very fast. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm like cut out for something like that. And then the more I thought about it, and I'm like, why not? Why not just try this? And again, my parents were just so used to me, like, now what does she want to do? Like, growing up, I'm like, Mom, I want to be famous all the time. And she's like, you live in Green, Ohio. I don't know what to do with you. We don't live in LA. So she was always so supportive. And, you know, I did some, like, Akron Showbiz Kids, and I can't sing at all. So she's like, okay, you can't be a singer. You don't want to be an actress. Yes, you're an Irish dancer. I don't know how far this can take you in the fame world. So she was always open to all my like big and crazy ideas. So I was like, okay, if you want to do this pageant, let's do it. And it was such a great experience. And kind of going back to that being authentically me, I didn't realize that the pageant world was almost like another sport. Some of these girls have been doing it since they were tiny, when they were young, and that it's been their whole world. So I walk in like, I have no idea what I'm doing, number one. So I'm just having fun. I'm making friends and doing all of those things. Going into the interview, like I wasn't professionally trained. So any questions they ask me, again, I'm not like, oh, this is the correct answer. Just answered naturally. So when it came down the top five, and I remember so holding the girl's hand, it's down to me and another girl. I'm like, could I actually win this? Like, what is going on? And when they announced my name, I remember looking in the crowd and like, my family's like, what? I'm like, I know. So I wasn't the typical like, oh my God. I'm literally going like, huh, me, really? And it was such an unexpected moment in my life, but it ended up honestly changing my life for the best reasons ever, because then I did. Number one, I got to meet so many incredible people. I did get that whole aspect of speaking and traveling around and being on camera more often. In the whole training aspect too, again, like it's not easy, first of all, to get up on stage. You're in a bikini and heels, like that's uncomfortable, but then there's like such a science and an art to it as well. So then I got like actually professionally trained, you know, going to nationals and all that. So I learned that power of like hard work and dedication, which I also got from dance as well. Yeah, so it was kind of cool because my reign was still going into my freshman year in college, then I became like known on campus. They're like, oh my God, that's the girl that's like Miss Ohio Teen USA. And so I got to do more interviews for that aspect of it too, kind of being like a little local celebrity. And then I'm like, you know, I really like this, but I want to switch.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah. I know there's a part of that too where you asked about the sports part. That part was not really planned. I knew I did not want to do hard news. I'm just not that serious of a person, and I respect news anchors that they can come in, and obviously everything going on in our world too. It's not easy to deliver those messages. I'm like, I don't think I could actually do that. I'm more like energetic and that world. I'm like, okay, maybe like entertainment. But again, like, could I do that in Ohio? Like maybe I'm like, I always thought like, oh, I'll do like E! News or something. But I've always been a sports fan. My whole family, we've been Cleveland Browns fans since I can remember. And so I always like remember watching the games with my dad and my brother, and you know, even being on dance team in college, like I was the one on the sidelines, like paying attention to the game and knowing what's going on. And honestly, it was the University of Akron I have to thank for it, because there was that ZTV sports reporter position, and I'm like, let's just see what I can do. And I'm like, okay, this is really fun. However, I knew that I did not want to be a sideline reporter. I watch TV and I'm like, I just feel like they don't get enough exposure. Like these women, they're so smart, they're so talented. They do so much prep work and they get like 30 seconds maybe of airtime. And I'm like, I wanna do kind of what we're doing right now. I'm like, there's so much more to sports. Is there an avenue where I could just sit down interviews and get to know the player off the field? Like what are they doing in their real life? And there was a position opening with Fox Sports Ohio. That's what it was called at the time. It's changed names since then. And it was kind of in the rise of social media and the entertainment side of sports. And I was fortunate enough to land that gig. And again, like we keep talking about, one thing leads to another, and I've been able to make an amazing career here in Cleveland in the sports world.
I feel like you having put in all that time in a world that you're unfamiliar with, the pageant world, and knowing the practice and the repetition that it takes is in its own way a sport. Mm-hmm. And so when you recognize all that goes into sports outside of just seeing the display, just like the people at the pageant, just seeing the display, you saw the ins and outs, you probably could translate that very easily into, again, your broadcasting career.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you. Bridget, every time that you step into the mic or onto the field, what's your goal?
You know what? Well, for me, again, people put these athletes on pedestals, which, again, they are. They're absolutely incredible, wildly talented, again, putting in the work and doing all that. But specifically here in Cleveland, what I love about this city are the fans. I mean, die hard through and through, win or lose, rain or shine, these fans show up and show out. And my goal is to put on a good show for them. So whether that is, you know, through my interviews with the athletes, or it's highlighting the entertainment that we have going on in game, whether I have like an amazing halftime show, like that's always the goal. Let's get the fans hyped. Again, it's not always the greatest weather here in Ohio, specifically during the NFL season. Let's make sure that they are having a good time no matter what the outcome of the game is.
Incredible. Because you talked about Cleveland, I want to dive into it a little bit. I wanted to tag into it later, but let's just hit it.
Okay.
What is it about Cleveland specifically that keeps you here? Because, again, the media world's probably bigger in other places, and you mentioned your family talking about LA versus a suburb in Akron Green. Why Cleveland? Outside of the fans, what is it? Because before you knew the fans, there was something that kept you here.
I know, and it's so funny. I get that question all the time. Like, the world, the career that I love so much, like, you could have way more opportunities if you were in New York or LA. But there's something about being, and I'm not saying in any way I'm like a celebrity by any means, but there's something about being like a big fish in a small pond. Like, I feel more connected with people here in Cleveland. We go to LA and New York, there's a million of me out there. But here, it's like, I love the fact that I'm walking around downtown and people are like, Bridget, go Browns. And it's just like, we're friends almost. Even though I don't know who they are, they don't know me personally, like, we're strangers, but somehow weirdly connected. That's something special that Cleveland has. And anyone that ever hates on Cleveland, I always say, have you been there? And typically the answer is like, well, no, but, and I'm like, well, come, because any person that comes to Cleveland ends up loving it. I love the culture here. I love the people here. Obviously, the sports aspect of it is incredible, too, because the fans are just unlike any other. And it's just home for me. And especially what I do, when people, you know, again, ask, like, why not somewhere else? Why would I want to work for any other team besides the team that I grew up loving? Like, it's almost like a dream come true. Like, I get to, number one, be at every single Cleveland Browns game and get to have a microphone in hand, be on camera. It's like, it's a dream.
Combination of all the things.
Yes, all the things I love. Yeah. Yes.
And tapping back into that authenticity, no knock on LA or New York, but because there are so many, you just get to be you here, and then people gravitate towards that. So when you're walking down the street, people are like, oh, Bridget, we are like friends. I know her because that's really her, right? So go Browns, Bridget. And they could dive into that and feel like they're a part of it too.
Totally. Or if they see me at a bar and then like I bust out my party trick, people are like, hey,
she's one of us.
Yeah. Can't do that in LA. Or if I did, they might be like, oh, okay, what's wrong with this girl?
Send her back.
Totally. Get her back to Cleveland.
Bridget, you entered a field that was so competitive, kind of drawing back a little bit.
Yeah.
What did you do to set yourself apart? And what were the skills that you took and the practices that you made to make you successful?
It's going back to Irish dance. It's wild. I like tap into the things that make me unique. Again, there's so many beautiful, talented, smart people out there that want to do the same career, not just in broadcasting. I'm just talking in general. There's so many people that have their goals. Like, okay, what's gonna make them remember you over someone else? And it's so interesting, both in the pageant world and my first job with Fox Sports Ohio, they remember me for the Irish dancing. And it's not because, I mean, yes, it's a unique sport that I did, but it's what I learned from it. Like, I learned the power of hard work and dedication at a very young age. I mean, I was this like prodigy child, 6 years old, and like looking to compete at this like the Midwest level, and then by 8 I'm traveling to Ireland and competing in the world championships. Like, it was, and it wasn't forced on me. Like, people always look back at that like, oh my god, did your parents like make you do that? Like, no, you ask them, they're like, no, she was the crazy one that like I was like begging for private lessons, and I need to get, dad, can you build me a dance floor in the basement, which he did. And like, I'm so grateful to have a family that always supported my biggest and wildest dreams. But because of that, then when I was done with like my competition career, then I was like, okay, what's my next goal? And I took all those skills that I learned at a young age and like would channel that into there. So it always got brought up in interviews, and that's what it was. And so people will remember me for the Irish dance part of it, but I think it's more of like what I learned from Irish dance that made me stand out.
Yeah, I always tell students when I was teaching writing, I would be like, hey, go look back at your photos and your videos and your camera roll. Like, they'd have a competition the next day and they're kind of freaking out. I'm like, just have a time to reflect almost. And that was the root of it. It was like, you have all these experiences that have taught you something that you've learned from them that are stories to tell. And that's what people remember. The best teachers, the best people in our lives are the ones that told the stories that we remember and that we could take from them, right? When we think about, it's that old idea of like grandparents and the stories they have. There's something that we love about stories.
Yes.
And so for you to have such a, I don't want to say peculiar, but a niche talent in Irish dancing, you have stories that people are like, I've never heard this. This is incredible. And you were so good at it from such a young age that it makes you stand out all the more.
Yes, and it's interesting because it's not a typical sport where you win the race, you're the winner. You score the most touchdowns, you win. I mean, it is like an opinionated type of sport per se. And so again, I had to develop thick skin at a young age. You work so hard, you think you give the best routine ever, and then you don't win. And then you get your scores back. Oh, this judge gave me first, this judge gave me first, that judge gave me last. Why? And like, you don't know those answers, and so then it can drive you crazy. Like, well, why didn't that judge not like my style of dance, but the other two thought I was the best in the competition? It doesn't make sense. So that also plays into my career now. Sometimes you don't get the job, or you know, you don't get the event that you wanted to host. And it's just like, you got to keep it rolling. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely an overthinker and I will do that. But the thick skin part of it, again, I learned from dance. Like, not everybody's going to love you. But at the end of the day, still be yourself, still work hard, do it. And then if it doesn't go your way, something better is down the line.
Do you think that's what's been able, that has allowed you to level up as well?
I think so, yeah.
To go from Fox Sports to now end up at the Browns, you just keep translating levels.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has to be part of it.
It does. And again, like, obviously this is kind of a highlight reel. We're talking about all the amazing like accomplishments and fun things to do. But I mean, there's so many little setbacks and failures along the way and they don't make sense in the moment. And then you look back and you're like, oh, no, if I would have gotten that, then it wouldn't have led me here. And if I didn't do this or didn't meet that person, it wouldn't have gotten me to the next level. I mean, even with the Cleveland Browns, it's an interesting story of like how I ended up here. And it was, you know, the job position opened. It wasn't like posted or anything, but it was an event I did when I was with Fox Sports, but in collaboration with the Browns. And someone remembered me, and like, I just remember her being so great with the fans. I remember her interview skills were good then, but she was still young in her career. Like, let's bring her in. And they asked me to host a preseason game. Hindsight, it was an audition. I did not realize that. I thought I was just like filling in for the day. And then you get the job. And so you think back, you're like, wow, that small event that I almost forgot about, I made an impression on someone that led me here. And so it's so funny how life works out in that sense.
Definitely. Part of your job, which you're actually touching on, is that you have to always be on, right? When you're walking down the street, someone recognizes you. All these times you have to always be on. What do you do to A, stay fresh, and B, how do you handle that?
It's so funny you ask me that, because all my friends like will joke around, like, can you ever just like leave the house like not being like done up? And I'm like, you just never know. Like, it's a funny story. Literally, I'm on vacation with my family in Myrtle Beach. You know, we've been going since I was born. Sure. That's what we do.
So the problem is everyone in Cleveland has been going
Sure. So I'm literally at the Myrtle Beach airport, flying back like on Allegiant or something. You know, one of like the cheap flights that you get a direct flight back to Cleveland, and I'm there. It's a long week with my family, like, you know, no makeup on, hair on top of my head, like, whatever. I'm sitting there, and the girl comes up to me, and she was like, hi, Bridget. And I'm like, there's no way someone, like, knows me in Myrtle Beach right now. And I was like, yes. She's like, my boyfriend is a huge Browns fan, and he would die to know that, like, you're just randomly here. Like, can we take a selfie and do it? And I'm like, and then it was posted on social media, and I know this is, like, my biggest flaw. I care way too much what people think, and I should not. But I'm like, oh, my God, the one time, I'm not, don't know. So now it's, like, that story. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna never leave the house, and I'm always going to be, you know, on and like looking good. As far as personality though, that's just like natural for me. Of course, I'm gonna be in bad moods and tired moods, but I'm always like a ball of energy. So yeah, that part I don't really have to think about. It's not like, okay, I have to be like on my best behavior. I'm me.
Yeah, it's a performance every time anyway. When you have that personality, yes, right? It's a performance. The days that you're not feeling it, or when you're getting asked to take a selfie in the Myrtle Beach airport, you're like, all right, let me just turn it back on real quick. Let's get this thing going. You roll and then move on.
I'm more concerned about what I look like, not like the personality aspect of it. I know someone, it was a good compliment. Someone said, you're the most like entertaining person I know. Like, you're not working or anything, but like the stories and like the party trick or whatever, like you just never stop. I'm like, yeah, I know. But again, I've been this way my whole life.
And how do you stay refreshed? Because even though it's innate, sometimes there's that point where the candle feels like it's burning out.
It's so true. I always say I'm the Energizer Bunny. Like, I'll go, 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 go. And then my body tells me, like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You just need to rest. You need to recharge. And I will. There will be days where, like, I can't even, like, fathom getting out of bed. And I'm just like, we're just going to sleep all day long. And then I wake up and I'm like, okay, ready to go again. So it is. I go literally until my battery runs out. Sometimes it's my voice. I'll lose my voice. Or it's just, you can just feel it in your body. Like, you know, you need to take a minute to rest. And I listen to it and I do it, but it's not often.
Okay.
I mean, I just told you a story off camera. I try to take Mondays as my like recharge day. I mean, game days are a lot, and it's not just game day. I mean, there's a lot of work leading up to game day as well. And then so Sunday comes, then I'm like, all right, I need Monday as a recharge day. And that lasted until noon yesterday. I'm like, okay, let's go do something.
Yeah. Bridget, for many people, sports is viewed, dare I say, merely as entertainment.
Yeah.
Where is it in the sports world that you find the value, and how do you participate in the argument that it's more than a game?
It's definitely more than a game. And going back to the people all involved, you know, me on game day, so I get here so early, and sometimes I just sit back and watch like everyone that's involved. I mean, like my team specifically, the amount of work and creativity that goes into putting on a good show entertainment wise, which I'm sure some fans appreciate, but some fans probably don't even know, like the halftime show and the light show that we just had, you know, at the last game. And it's like, so many minds and work and effort and production goes in to doing that. I mean, I'm sure you know here, just in your podcast, getting the right venue and videographer and editing and all that, like it's a lot more than just having me and you having a conversation. So for me, it's just like seeing all the work on the other ends. I mean, and then the sales reps, you know, entertaining all the partnerships that we have here with the Cleveland Browns, and like they're with them on the sidelines. Sometimes I do, I just sit back and like, there are so many people that work here at the Cleveland Browns and they put so much effort in. And at the end of the day, it is all for the fans. Obviously fans are gonna be fans and like they'll like hate on the team if we're not winning, but it's, for me, it's way more than a game. It's more of the teamwork and effort that goes into it.
I have a question for you in a second about faith. I'll let you ponder that while I go on a little tangent. A quick thank you to the Browns for having us, number one. And number two, I can't help but relate to that. When every time I come to a game or I'm in a large setting, like I was here for the Morgan Wallen concert, for example, it's packed.
Yes.
I do the same thing. And I, for me, it ties from faith. So that's why I'm going there in a second. But I look around, I'm like, there are 60, 70, whatever thousand people that are here just kind of living their life. And it's hard not to just try and imagine what everyone's doing, you know? And for that moment, everyone's doing the same thing, coming from vastly different backgrounds with experiences that none of us can even imagine, probably good and bad. Mm-hmm. And we all come in and we do the same thing. You know, it's really just wild.
I mean,
so
even in like, obviously in this world, there's so much negativity and like, it's, I mean, obviously I'm not perfect myself. You have those selfish moments where it's like, things don't go your way and you're like, oh, and then you think like for the Morgan Wallen concert, for example, like I just saw so many people complaining about parking situations and not getting Ubers and all that. I'm like, okay, at the end of the day, you just got to go see like probably one of your favorite like musical artists. So many people in the stadium were working so hard to make sure that show went as the way it did. But like, you know, we're humans. We like forget those small things and realize like, hey, there's a lot of people that work really hard to give you this experience.
What role does the faith have in that positive attitude that you embark and embody?
You know, well, it's, I mean, I grew up Catholic. I mean, I'm Irish, you know, I went to a Catholic school. And so faith has always been a part of my life. But more so my mom, I know it's cliche, but she instilled in me literally at a young age and almost to the point where like, mom, shut up. Like every night before I went to bed, did you treat everyone the way you wanted to be treated today? I'm like, mom, yes. And she's like, no, were you mean to anybody today? Were you rude to any of your teachers? It was literally every single night before I went to bed. And like subconsciously that was just instilled in me to always treat people the way that you want to be treated. So even on the days where, you know, I come into work and I'm frustrated, like, you know, maybe, you know, I don't feel as prepared or something changed in my script, and it's so easy to get frustrated with the littlest things. And then I always go back to that. You know what? Maybe if I didn't get like something in time, okay, maybe my producer had a bad day, or maybe this, like you just always have to think that something else might've happened because of this. Don't treat them differently just because things didn't go your way this time. So it's more of that part of it that stuck with me at a young age. And I'm sure just, you know, having to go to a Catholic school and also learning about it helped as well.
Yeah. I mean, how relevant too, because when you're in the business of interacting with people, you know, things are changing all the time.
Yes.
And that's part of it, is that you have to A, adapt, but also B, you want to adapt gracefully.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so attractive and allows great production too, because if you meet it with an iron fist, you're never going to be able to progress it.
Yes.
You know?
And I have to remember, not everyone is as comfortable as we are doing what we're doing right now. And so when I'm interviewing people, whether it be athletes or maybe it's an executive or whoever it is, they might not be as comfortable having this conversation. So sometimes I get in my own head if I'm interviewing someone and I'm getting like short answers or maybe not like the most energetic answers or enthusiastic ones. And I'm always like, why don't you like me? And then I have to remember, I'm like, maybe they're not comfortable being in front of a crowd, or maybe they're not comfortable being on camera. And so again, you have to like remember those things as well. That doesn't make anyone a bad person. It's just, I didn't realize it was a skill set to do what we're doing really until a few years back. I was like, oh, this is fun for me. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, I can make this a career.
I want to touch on that in a second.
Yeah.
Talking further about the reflective nature, to give the opposite end of that, while it's great to recognize, oh, you know, there's another person involved and maybe they have something going on, I think it's valuable to go back to an initial point that you had made, that we internalize some of that and have to reflect on it. So your mom saying to you, oh, did you treat everyone well? It's like, actually, maybe they were having a bad day, but maybe I kind of added to that too. And I think both can be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think almost that, I don't want to say hypercritical, but that's kind of how you put it, I guess. So that hypercritical eye allows to aim for perfection all the more.
Yes.
And I think in a field that's A, so competitive, and B, with a million eyes on you, you have to be ever evolving and true to yourself, but ever evolving too.
And it, going back to what we talked about earlier, trying to stand out, like I always try to think of different ways. Okay, like, is there a different way we can make like this? We do the same welcome basically every single game. Obviously there's different elements of the games that are different each week, but I'm always trying to think of like, okay, what can we do that's like new and fresh? Or if I'm interviewing someone, all right, let's think outside the box and not do like the typical, you know, post-game like questions. I'm always like trying to think of that too. Again, to make things more entertaining for the fans, but also to keep evolving, like you had mentioned.
And you mentioned that the skills that we have is innate, but also something you were able to turn into a career. How much of it do you think is just you're born with this kind of set of talents, and how much of it do you think is rehearsed and practiced?
I think it's definitely a mix of both, because when people ask me that don't want to do this as a career, but say they have to speak at their job or do something, like, do you have any advice for me? I'm so nervous. I'm not great at public speaking. That part of it is like tough for me sometimes to give advice because I love it so much, but I have to understand that not a lot of people are comfortable with that. And I'm just a weirdo that like literally came out of the womb, like I'm ready for my close up. Like it's just who I am as a person. However, I do rehearse so much. Like if people saw me on Sunday mornings getting ready for the game, I'm like curling my hair and like going over my welcome, like, welcome inside Huntington Bakefield. And I do, I practice, I rehearse, because there are sometimes, like, as much as I wanna be, like, roll with the punches and be authentic and like, all right, I don't want it to be so, you know, rehearsed and so scripted. Some of the things I do in game have to be. Like, for instance, I do a segment called What to Watch. What to Watch, it's the players to watch, what I'm expecting in today's game. That is so timed out. Again, going back to how many people are working behind the scenes to make this what it is. This is also on TV. So like I have a minute and 15 seconds. I have to say this exactly in 15 minute and 15 seconds. That's why we have rehearsal the night before. So it's like, I can't really go too off script or add in another line or take out something because I have to say all of this in a minute 15. So I do, I practice, I look at myself in the mirror and we'll rehearse that segment specifically over and over again. So I do think it's a mix of both of, you know, having the natural ability and like passion for it, but then also knowing you have to practice. You can't just get up there and wing it.
Isn't that everybody?
Yeah. I mean,
Tom Brady, right? He threw every single day. Of course, the guy didn't need to, but he did.
Yes.
He needed to, and that's what got him there. So why you can't abandon that?
Yes, exactly.
Do you think that enough practice can overwork a lack of innate skill? For example, if you were the opposite, let's say you didn't come out of the room ready for the headshot, would enough practice have gotten you here?
That's like a tough one to answer. I don't know. And I don't know if I would have gone into this field if I didn't have the natural passion for it either. Again, like my career path was like interesting. Like I started in TV and then kind of went into radio and sales and like somehow found my way back here. So that's how I know like I was definitely meant to do this, because even when I thought like, okay, maybe I'm not, or maybe I'm not going to get like my like big break, I kind of went off the beaten path. And my old boss, who I'm still very close with, my manager at ESPN, he always would say when I was like in training and things and doing presentations, like a sales pitch, he's like, you're always putting on a show. He's like, you get up there and he's like, it's talent. He's like, but I feel like I'm not like listening to a sales pitch. He's like, I literally feel like I'm watching a show. Like, it's just who I am. Again, I would rehearse those things too. So yeah, I don't think that I would have gone into the career path that I am if I didn't have that natural love for it.
I think that's something that I want the audience to hear, is that there is, because you have to speak in everything, and that's applicable to all the fields, that when you practice enough, you can level your comfortability to a point that it's doable.
Yes.
And then the next thing you know, you're like, actually, I'm kind of okay at this. The next thing you know, I could do this pretty well.
Yes.
And if you don't love it, like say someone mm-hmm. like you or I does, at least you can get to a point where, and I think this is applicable to anything, you are serviceable and if not good at it.
Like we were going back to like my family and they're like, where did you come from? Because no one else in my family is like me. My sister could not be more opposite. Number one, she's blonde hair, blue eyes. Like we don't even look alike, but also hates being the center of attention. Like to the point where she will get like so red, the thought of like having to speak or do anything. But she's a teacher. And so her specifically, like, but I mean, she's talking to kindergartners, but still even for her, like she, I mean, now she's been doing it for many years, but would practice, like practice her, what do they call it, like lessons?
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. She would like practice that at home and I'd always laugh at it, but I get it. Like if you aren't comfortable with it, you have to practice. Now, like going back to your point, she's done it enough times. Now she can do it in her sleep, it's fine. But even that for her was like a performance to her. Like, oh my God, I have to speak in front of people, even though they're kids. Still, that's not everyone's comfort.
I always tell this story, not always, but often. And the first time I ever taught, and I had a classroom that was full of fourth graders. And I remember going and they all sat down. It was my first class ever. And I was like, oh my God, these guys, they're gonna listen to me. It's on me to say something now. And I like turn around and it's just boom, just turn it on. And thank God for the personalities that we have, because I was like, let's get this thing rolling. But it's such an interesting idea that it is a performance, I think.
Yes. And if you don't think about it that way, or you're listening, like I'm literally teaching the future, it is a lot of pressure.
No doubt.
Yeah. So I kind of get when people get nervous.
Bridget, when you look at your own life, what's the end game for you in all of this?
You know, that question's always so tough for me. Or like, what's the next thing? Or where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's such a tough question for me to answer, because I am having so much fun right now. And as goal-oriented as I am, and I'm typically like, okay, check this one off. Like, this is what I want to do next. Like, right now, I'm really just living in the moment. And I'm so grateful for the Cleveland Browns and the opportunities they've given me. I always joke around, like, they're kind of like my agent. Like, I started with the Browns while I was still at ESPN. So I'm doing both. I'm doing radio show. I'm doing sales. than doing this on game days. But then the people that we get to meet, going back to the relationships, getting to know the partnerships of the Browns. And I'm so grateful that they brought me on to like, hey, can you be our spokesperson and host? Can you host our event? And then I'm like, oh my gosh. So it all kind of just like snowballed into a career, and I was able to step away from ESPN and kind of do this on my own and get to work with so many amazing people. And now I feel like I'm not just like the sports and entertainment host. Like now I can host literally a mortgage sales rally, like cross country mortgage. And I'm interviewing like top loan officers in the country. If you'd have told me 2 years ago, that's what I would be doing, I'd be like, huh, I don't know anything about that world, which I don't and I didn't, but I'm learning. And it's like so cool for me to interview people outside of the sports world, in the pageant world. You know, now I'm so grateful that I won that because now I'm the host of so many of the Miss USA state pageants. And I get to meet these incredible young women, and they look at me and say like, oh, I want to do what you're doing. Can you help? And so now I get to like almost give back and be a helpful tool and role model to them. And so it's like right now I'm doing an array of different things. Even though I'm most known for my work with the Cleveland Browns in the sports world, I'm able to do all these different little side gigs as well. And I'm having so much fun with it. If you had to ask me like the dream job, I'm gonna manifest it right now. I want to be the host of Dancing with the Stars one day.
Okay.
Going back to my dance world.
Yeah.
And just like interviewing like different people, you know, that are in the entertainment world and the sports world, you know, these like celebrities, reality stars. And like every time I watch, I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do. Bring my passion for dance and my hosting in there. And it's like a national thing. As people are like, well, you don't have like a national goal. And I'm like, that's it, actually.
I love that. Dancing with the Stars with Bridget Lynn. That's coming.
Yes, it's coming.
Of the groups that you've highlighted, who has been your favorite to work with and why?
Oh, we can't put that on camera. Come on now.
All right.
No, I'm joking. That is like tough though, because everyone's unique in their own way. And again, I always have to go back to the Browns because they've introduced me to so many of these people. But I have to say, it's crazy at Cross Country Mortgage. Again, I know nothing about like the mortgage industry, but going back to seeing their marketing team and events team, what they do, I'm like, again, some of the most talented creative people I've ever met. I just recently got back from hosting their big sales rally, and it was in Miami, and like the theme was like Miami vices and turning vices into virtues and like all these things. And I'm like, who thought of this? Like all of the different aspects that went into it. Like, you saw the theme everywhere. The closing party, we had Flo Rida, which was amazing. But then we had like the, you know, that they had like hired actors like dressed up as like the different seven deadly sins, and like it just like so much goes into it. And I'm like, you guys are absolutely incredible. And then they trust me to be the one to interview and be on stage their top originators that like make Cross Country Mortgage so successful. And I just feel so appreciated there. Like last year at the sales rally, I had to do a sit down interview like we are doing right now with Peyton Manning. Like,
so cool.
And people saw that and they just assumed it was like my sports background. I'm like, no, actually a mortgage company gave me that opportunity. So honestly, I can't say a negative thing about anyone that I work with, because I don't know if I would work with them if I did have a negative experience. But there, it's just, I feel so appreciated at Cross Country Mortgage because they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and they're the ones that said like, you should be doing this as a career. So I'll give a shout out to Laura Suave. She's been my mentor, and she's the chief branding officer for Cross Country Mortgage. And she kind of gave me that like kick to like, spread your wings, you can do this. And I did, but it all kind of goes back to Cleveland Browns. So probably if I had to pick two, it's Cleveland Browns and Cross Country Mortgage.
Absolutely. Those collaborations and people like Laura that really do see something in us that maybe we don't even see ourselves is,
yes,
I think, so special.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned giving back, and I know you've done work with like Make-A-Wish and other organizations,
yeah,
similar. What is it about giving back and that sort of work that's so important to you?
Again, so many people have done so much for me and my family that why not give it back? If you have the ability to do it. And I always used to look at it, we'll use Make-A-Wish as an example, when they asked me to host their gala. I'm like, well, what more can I do? I'm just hosting. And they're like, you don't understand, like you just giving us your time and your skill set for tonight, like you are giving back. And again, I never thought of it that way until recently working with them. And I'm like, if you have a talent or anything that you're able to provide for someone else, why not do it? And you know, I am so close with my family, and I have four precious nephews and a niece. And my nephews, I mean, they're just like my whole world. And my one nephew, when he was 5 years old in 2019, was diagnosed with leukemia. I mean, like, every single time I talk about it so much and I still get like emotional. Like, I just remember I felt like my whole world like came crashing down when we got that call. And I'm like, how, I always call my little angel face because he's like the cutest kid ever. And I'm like, how this like perfect little boy, like cancer isn't fair in any realm of life. But, like, why does this have to happen to innocent children? And just watching him those 3 years, just like all the blood transfusions and the chemotherapy and the strength that a child has. And I'm like, most adults will never have spend those many hours in the hospital, endure that much pain, and here's this child being able to do it. So he is my little superhero and inspired me. And Make-A-Wish stepped in and gave him his wish of going to Disney World, and it was with his whole family. He got to bring his three brothers, my sister, my brother-in-law. And to this day, I mean, that was 2-3 years ago, and he said it was the best week of his whole life. And I'm like, this foundation, all these galas and events that you think that people show up to, and you know, they're buying their tickets or these raffle tickets, they think that it's not going anywhere. It is. And so I saw the actual impact it made. So that was for me. I'm like, you did so much for my family. What can I do? And they're like, oh, can you host for us? I'm like, no, like, let me do more. And that's when I realized, like, even just offering your talents and skills, that is giving back. And it's not just Make-A-Wish. I mean, childhood cancer obviously is very near and dear to my heart. But anytime people ask me, like, hey, can you come host this charity event? If I'm available, I'm doing it, because you just don't know the impact you're making.
That's so appreciative of you, too. I mean, you get to do some really cool things, and that gets to be added into the list.
And they're like my favorite ones to do, too, honestly.
I was just going to say, I think that when we interact with people who maybe have bigger struggles than we do, I would say humbly, it's so moving and so touching, because it's like, it does. It makes you feel just, again, so appreciative. And if you can any positive impact on them, it's like, okay, thank you for these gifts, because I get to leave a smile on his face. I get to brighten someone's day who I know is going through hell and back.
Yes.
I'm going on.
And again, going back to, you never know what people are going through. I mean, my little nephew, he was diagnosed during COVID. So it was extra. Honestly, like, sometimes I look at it as a blessing in disguise, and then other parts, it makes me upset, because only one person could go with him. So like, my sister and my brother-in-law had to alternate who could take him to his chemo treatments. He couldn't have visitors. So we, as a family, like my parents, we felt like we couldn't be there for him. And then his brothers, okay, well, there's still three other kids at home. So for them, they were just confused. Like, why is mommy and daddy always with Luke? And so it's like hard for them to understand what's going on. And I'd almost wish that they were able to go to the hospital to understand, like, this is what our brother was going through, because they don't get it. They don't understand, like, what cancer is. And now that they've gotten older, I think a little bit more. But also, outside looking in, not a lot of people knew what was going on in my family, because no one was going anywhere. You couldn't do anything. I mean, so it's kind of nice that everyone was quarantined and Luke had to be quarantined. But also, like, I'm sure my sister had her days where she just broke down and cried. And if she wasn't very open about what was going on with our family, people don't know that. So again, like, when you see someone having a bad day, what's going on at home? You have no idea. So like, why be negative? Just always give that positive if you can.
How's Luke doing now?
He's in remission. He's like living life like a normal kid. Okay. He's the best. I know, I just went down for my sister's birthday and saw him. And I do. I just like look at him and just like, I do. I'm like, look, can I squeeze your face? And he's like, oh, Bridgie, Aunt Bridgie, why do you have to do that? But it's like, I just remember what he went through, and he hates seeing photos of himself with no hair. I'm like, Luke, look how far you come. It's like crazy. He's like, that's not me. It's like not a good time in his life. And I'm like, but look at you now. You know, he's wrestling. He's doing awesome in school. And you know, hopefully things stay on this path. But yeah, our families are so grateful that he's doing well and back to being our little Lukey.
Obviously was nervous to ask, but I felt like it was necessary.
Yes,
hopefully it didn't
come
off too abrasively. And with that, Bridget, who, like Luke, are some of the inspirations in your life? And what is it that you've taken from them? Whether it's people that you know or have never met, and take something from them too.
Going back to my family, again, my mom, just like looking back, I would not be who I am today without her, and my dad, of course. I mean, I'm blessed to have great parents who raised me right, taught me the value of having good morals at a very young age. I don't want to keep getting like so sad over here, but again, when I was a senior in high school, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's the most selfless person I know. I did not know. And she, it's because I was graduating. Number one, so I had senior prom. I was graduating. I was competing for Miss Ohio Teen USA, like, all around the same time. So she wanted to wait until I got through all that, because she didn't want to affect my life at all. And I just look at her, I'm like, how like selfless can you be? You're going through this like traumatic experience, and here I am, just like, I look back, I'm like, I was so selfish. Like, I didn't even like notice that mom was like going to the hospital a lot, or, you know, was like not feeling good. And she's like, I just wanted you to get through all that, and then I would tell you. And again, I'm grateful for it, because who knows, maybe my senior year would have totally changed if I didn't. But then again, when she like started like chemotherapy, and I'm in college now and I'm on the dance team, she did not miss one single basketball game. And she tells me now, later on, I had no idea how bad it was. And she's basically, I'm lucky to be alive. You know, it was so aggressive, so fast. Basically, her oncologist told her, like, live life like you normally would, because you're probably not going to be here much longer. Yeah. Again, she never told us kids that, because why would she wanted to hurt us in that way. And then she tells me, you know, yeah, every basketball game I'd go, and as soon as you'd be done performing, I'd probably go in the bathroom and throw up because I had chemo the day before. And I'm just like, Mom, how? And she always says the way she made it through was the positive mind. She's like, if I could have easily turned into a cancer patient and just laid at home, stopped working, and just let it eat me alive. She's like, but instead, still went to work every day. Again, she worked at a hospital, so she'd go to work, get her chemo during lunch break, go back and work. And she would just do it, and I just look at her, I'm like, if you were going through all that and still working so hard, providing the life that you provided for us kids, still supporting us in everything we do, like, I have absolutely no excuse in anything. So I think that's where I get my, like, hard work part of me, of who I am, like going after things, and, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having, staying positive, and then always like treating people the way you want to be treated. So she's been my role model forever, but more so as an adult, I became more appreciative of what I have been a mom.
Gives me chills.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you know, moms are heroes, and so yes. are dads too, but especially seeing someone so close like that after, yes. and like to put it, to think, and when you hear about something after and it's something traumatic, I think you yep. then go back and look at all the instances, right? You were probably yes. like your past, and you're like, oh my God, you were going through this and there, right? You keep replaying these yes. moments in your life that you had experienced without that knowledge, and then go back and try and like relive it with the knowledge.
Yes.
So you put yourself in their shoes, and that's...
And I do, and I almost like get mad at her, and I'm like, Mom, I cannot believe you were going through all that, or it was so bad, and like we had no idea. And she was like, why would that? Like, I'm going through it. Why would I want to put my kids through it? I'm like, I was just so like selfish. And like, of course, every game I'd be like on the, you know, on the side court or whatever, I'd look up, and like, if she wasn't there, I probably would have been mad. Like, how selfish can I be? Like, not knowing that she was going through all that, I guess it's like a hindsight thing. But still, I'm like, how do you have that? And so when Luke was diagnosed, it hit my mom the hardest because she went through it. So she's like, no, give it back to me. Like, I can do it. Let me fight this. Like, why are we making this 5-year-old child do it? But it all brought our family close together, and we realized that we can overcome anything.
I can't even imagine, truly. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. Those really difficult moments gives us a lot of insight to our own perspective, and they teach yes. us a positive mind, or they teach us something. In your case, it's evident that it's taught you some really hard work ethic yeah. and also a very positive mind. I'm curious, on a different lens, through forming your perspective, what has traveling and your work has allowed you to travel and see yeah. different places? What has traveling done to influence your perspective?
I love traveling. If I get any downtime, that's, going back to I can't sit still. I'm like, all right, where are we going next? Like, I want to just see so much of the world. I got to get back to Ireland, first of all. I've been to Ireland so many times, but it's always been for like the world championships. It's for a competitive aspect of it. And again, like going back to my family, we'd go, and I remember my first couple times there, we spent time to go sightseeing and all that. Again, me being so competitive, even at a young age, I'm like, I don't want to do this sightseeing stuff. Like, I'm here to win and do all this. Yeah. So again, I want to go back and like appreciate it now as an adult and, you know, have a Guinness and relax and have fun with it. But other than that, like, yeah, anytime, I'm so grateful that work has allowed me to travel. When people are like, oh, what's your favorite spot? So many times I'm just there for work and I don't really appreciate the travel. So when I do get downtime, I want to go on vacations. Let's do a girls trip, family, where are we going to next? And it is crazy though, how much I've traveled, and something about Cleveland I still love. Because sure. like, you've seen so much, like, why do you always want to come back to Cleveland? I'm like, it's home. It's just like, I really do think it's the people, but if I'm going, specifically for work for too long, I'm like, I just miss Cleveland. I want to get back to it. And we're like, you're crazy. I'm like, again, you've never been there. Come on.
Yeah.
Show you how great it is.
At the same time, though, we don't want everyone to know, because we've got to keep
it. Yeah, yeah. It's like our little hidden secret. Gem. Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
Bridget, there's a closing litany that we do here at Chats with Clark. Okay. And I'd love to start it off with this question. What role does gratitude play in your life? My contention is that people who live with a grateful heart, live with gratitude on their mind, live a better life than those who do not. I almost feel like you've highlighted it the whole time, but I ask you, what role does gratitude play in your life?
It's everything. And again, going back to, there's days where I feel myself feeling sorry for myself for whatever was going on. And then I always have to go back to that. Like, look at the life that I'm living. I've dreamt of this life since I was younger. And because of the resources that I've had, it led me here. So I do. I always have to take a moment to reset and think, wow. Like, I'm here and I'm doing this. So yeah, gratitude is a main part of my life.
It's almost like a stop and smell the rose
yes.
type of thing.
Yes.
We all have to do that. It's like the pinch yourself, you're here, feel it, put the feet on the ground type of thing.
Yes.
On the opposite end of that, kind of, have you had any regrets in your life? And if so, what have those taught you?
Ooh, regrets. I mean, again, cliche. I try to live life without regrets. Obviously, you make mistakes along the way, but I always feel like it kind of redirects you to where you are now. I would say learning about the power of relationships sooner. Whenever girls reach out to me, well, and men as well, when they reach out to me for advice if they want to do a career similar to what I'm doing, I used to always say, like, make sure you get a good reel, you have to stand out, I'll do all this. My answer has since changed, and it's, number one, people want to help you, so don't be scared to ask. Like, that's probably one of my flaws. Like, I'm always scared to ask for help, but most people, like, I love when people reach out to me and, like, ask for advice. And I'm like, okay, if I feel so, you know, excited to help, probably other people want to help too. So it's that, but then always, you never know, like, the person that you meet, where it could lead you to next. And I wish I would have honed in on that more at a younger age, because yes, I met some amazing people, but never thought, how can I help them or how can they help me? And so many people do want to help. And so now that's my always advice to people. It's like, you might be in the right room at the right time, but if you're not making the introduction or building that relationship, what's the point?
Yeah, people are so complex.
Yes.
And I think we just eliminate that. We see people as like, oh, they're doing their thing, I'm doing mine. It's like, no, that can jive. And there's always a give and take.
You never know where it can lead you. And again, when people are like, well, how did you, you know, you got a job right out of college, now you're here, you're doing this. And it's not an answer people want to hear. A lot of it's luck. It is being at the right place at the right time. So like, that part is lucky for sure. But then again, you have to make the most of it. You could be in that right room, but if you're not making the most of it, then that lucky moment, you just let it go to waste.
Absolutely. Are you familiar with the School of Hard Knocks?
No.
He's basically a guy named James. He goes around and interviews all these very high-end individuals. And he just goes up to them. Like, he'll go to Miami, to LA, wherever. He's done Shaq. He's done everyone you could possibly
Amazing. Think
of. Yeah. And that's what a lot of them always say is like, you know, he's like, they're lying to you. People are lying to you if they're at this level, and saying that some of it wasn't luck.
Yes.
But it's also right where preparation meets opportunity, I feel like I've always said. So.
Yeah, because people are always like, oh, they work so hard. And well, I like met so many talented people too. Like, I recently did an event here in Cleveland, and it was like a music art event, which again is not my typical world. But again, I'm so grateful that they thought of me to host it, because then I got to meet all these people in Cleveland, this like painter and this a poet, singer. And I'm like, these people are wildly talented. And this one singer, Denzel, shout out Denzel, the artist, I was blown away. Like, he puts me in mind of The Weeknd, but almost better. And I'm like, why are you not on the Grammy stage? And he's like, oh yeah, that's the goal. I'm trying to get there. And that always like mind boggles me. I'm like, there's so many talented people here, and the people that do make it, a lot of it is luck. And so when people are like, oh, I may as well give up on my dream, I've been working so hard and I didn't get there, like, no, just like keep going. Cause you never know that like next break or that next person that you meet could get you there.
Absolutely. Bridget, I think it's so important to have things on your calendar that you look forward to.
Yeah.
And when you're in that grind towards whatever your goal is, or when you're in the thick of it, those things on our calendar, whatever those events are, really kind of break us out and allow us to, I guess, recharge, for lack of a better way of putting it. What's on your calendar that you're looking forward to?
Well, it's actually work, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to Las Vegas.
Let's go. It's perfect. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
coming home with a win.
It's really that trip. Crazy that the Browns played in Vegas back-to-back years. But it's like the perfect work hard, play hard trip for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I go, number one, I get to do what I love. We have some great alumni coming that I get to interview and catch up with, which I'm so excited for. But then my brother, he loves to gamble and have fun. And so like, he's coming to be out there. I'm like, okay, cool. On my downtime, I get to like hang out with some of my family and enjoy it. So it's kind of a vacation, but still a work trip for me. And that's coming up here soon. So I'm really looking forward to that.
This is the perfect combination. Yes. Anytime you get to like work hard and do what you love and also be with people you love in a fun place, that's a win.
And then we have the holidays coming up. So I'm looking forward to, I don't really get downtime because it's still in season. And honestly, it's weird. Again, I just love what I do so much. I don't look forward too much to downtime. I'm looking at my calendar now. Someone asked me for something in January and I looked, I'm like, I have like nothing booked in January. Oh my gosh. And like, my friends and family, they're like, okay, great. Take that month to recharge and then like things will start rolling again. I'm like, oh, that's a little too long for me. So I maybe have to book a trip or something, or hopefully work starts rolling in. I don't know. Like, I don't like a lot of downtime.
Anyone listening to this, if you need an MC, it sounds like Bridget's
available. If you need an MC or host for anything, give me a call.
Bridget, my final question to you is, I want to offer you the floor for any piece of advice that you want to offer to the audience, or if you want to tailor it specifically to a group. I have to kind of use some of what we're talking about to push you maybe for someone that's younger looking at us and saying, what can I do right now to take an initial step forward towards doing what you do in such a competitive industry? What would that be?
I mean, I know we've talked about it, but again, it is my best piece of advice is, number one, obviously, you have to put in the effort. I think in today's day and age, I hate to hate on like the generation right now that's in college, but I don't know what it is about, I'm assuming we're around the same age, like we had to work hard to do what we want to do, like anything in life, in school, in life, jobs, all that. And I feel like younger people now, that work ethic isn't there, and I don't understand what the shift and the change was. So number one, like if you love something, you have to put in the work. You have to put in the effort for it. And then again, it's building relationships and being kind. Like, I got to speak at my high school, and that's what I told them. I'm like, you guys are all honor students. That person next to you could be your boss one day. Like, treat them with respect now, because you never know. Like, down the line, you could meet them, and then you go into an interview, you're like, oh man, I was mean to them in high school. I'm probably not gonna get this job. Like, again, why not be kind? Treat people the way you wanna be treated. My mom instilled it in me at a young age. It's cliche, but it works, and it's the golden rule. So work hard, be kind, and yeah, love what you do.
And I love that you've talked about that authenticity too.
Yeah.
So all of that, be authentic and
keep yeah, that's actually probably the biggest piece of advice. So many, specifically in this industry, people think that, oh, this is what they want me to be, so I'm gonna be that. Most of the time, that's not the case. Like, they love the person that you are, and that's like why they wanna hire you. So yeah, be yourself. And if they don't like it, that's okay. The next person will.
Right. Isn't that what separates us from robots too? Mm-hmm. Is the fact that we have all these ins and outs about us that are, again, not like robots and
yes.
unique.
Yes, exactly.
And no, I love that you touched on that. If it doesn't fit somewhere, it doesn't mean that you're putting the square peg in the round hole. It just means that you have to find a different hole.
Yes.
Right. Like, wish I used a different analogy.
But yeah. No, but it's like so true though. But
yeah.
Like, again, when people like assume like, okay, you're a female and you wanted to work in sports, like, why aren't you Aaron Andrews or a sideline? I'm like, because I knew I didn't want to do that. And for a while I like questioned myself. I'm like, I guess if I want to be on camera and I want to work in sports, I think I have to do that. And then the more I like practiced it and was doing it, I'm like, I actually don't like this. Like, there has to be somewhere where like I get to be myself and be energetic and be entertaining, but it's still with the sports world. I'm like, there has to be somewhere in there that will fit. And again, like, I'm thankful for the Cleveland Browns. I get to be me every game day, get to be upbeat, fun, what I want to do. And I get to ask the questions that I want to ask and able to tie in those like two passions. So yeah, I might not have worked for, you know, ESPN or NFL Live or whatever it is, but it does work somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You influence thousands of people every single week. And that's a great gift, and that's a great talent and a great blessing that you get to do every single week. So thank you for sharing with me on this episode and our audience abroad. I almost feel like I need to hand it off to you to close it. You want to take it from here?
No, like literally, I was going to say, like, thank you, even though I'm like sweating right now, like, thank you for asking such thoughtful and amazing questions. But like, I'm not used to talking about myself. I'm usually the one like, let me know everything about yeah. you. So it was like somewhat uncomfortable, but you made me kind of tap into mindsets and things that I would never think about on a daily basis. And I didn't realize how much like my family has influenced me and all that. So like, thank you for asking the questions, because it was a nice little reflection for me of how I got to where I am, and makes me feel more grateful for where I am. And so next time, you know, I'm having a bad day or I like feeling sorry for myself, I'm gonna remember this conversation of like, no, do live life with gratitude.
Thank you, Bridget. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a nice words from you, especially from someone that's an expert in the realm. I really appreciate it.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I'll take it.
I'll say that for Bridget. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not yet hit the subscribe button, number one. Number two, check out the either pinned comment on YouTube or the description below, wherever you're listening to this podcast. All of Bridget's socials and things that we have talked about will be linked in the either the pinned comment or the description below. Check those out. And the next time you're in Cleveland, which hopefully is soon, head to a Browns game, see Bridget Linton, root on the Cleveland Browns, of course, and whoever else they're playing against, not them. And this has been another episode of Chads with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening to episode 62 with Bridget Linton.